I'm just so grateful to be here with you this morning. I eagerly desire, with a great desire, to every single week to come here with you. So good morning, Forgiven Life. I just love our church. And to be honest, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else than here with you this morning. Right here, worshiping with you, singing with you, and opening the Word of God with you. And I hope it is the same with you. I really hope that's the same. I hope you long to be here with us. And I hope that you long to come here. And that you feel that this is your home. And that you'd rather be nowhere else than right here where you are. I hope that's your feeling, because that's my feelings. Matter of fact, as I drove to Forgiven Life this morning, I passed a few churches on the way over here. You know, taking the little inside route. I passed like a few churches. You drive, there's almost like a church in every single corner. But I passed several few churches on the way over here. Took me a little over 30 minutes to come here. But it's worth it. It's worth it. I took the long trek over here. And some of you probably took 30, maybe 45 minutes just to get over here to Forgiven Life Church, not to any other church. Why? Why Forgiven Life? Why come to here of all places? I'd like to take this few times starting this series and just to talk about my heart about Forgiven Life. Why Forgiven Life was birthed? What are we doing here? And why I am so glad to be here. You see, last year when I planted this church, I knew that it would not be easy. Building a church is never easy. And I knew it would be a difficult task. But I also knew that it would be a fun road to travel on. It would be an exciting road. After all, there are so many churches around here. There are so many churches in the greater Houston area. I mean, they're all there. Why do we need another one? another Forgiven Life, another community church. The reason why is because I had a vision. Not the supernatural vision that, you know, the Bible talks about, where God supernaturally gives you a vision. That's not the vision I'm talking about. I had a desire. A kind of vision that I want a church to be different. There's a deep desire inside of me to have a biblical church. If you know me, I love the Bible. I read the Bible. I study the Bible. I'm in the Bible every single day. And I just want to have a church that is rooted and grounded in the Word of God, instead of something that is grounded in tradition, unbiblical tradition, or something that's grounded in institutional, man-made institutional stuff that does nothing but place burdens upon the people. And as I look around the church, and I study church history, and I look around some church and visit other church, I realize that Jesus came to remove the burden from the people, because the Jewish nation, the Pharisee, and the Sadducee placed such a heavy burden on them that they couldn't worship God freely. So Jesus came to remove that burden. He said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden and are burdened, I will give you rest." And he did that. He removed it. He destroys the old covenant. He destroyed the law of Moses. He set up a new law. A new law that can summarize it in one word: love. So that people can worship God freely. But as I study church history and as I look at the modern churches, what I realize is that we start placing more burdens, a different kind of burden on people, a different kind of institution. We replace the Levitical priest with a different kind of priest. We start setting mediators between God and man and instead of Jesus Christ, and we start putting burdens upon people where they can't worship God freely. You have to do this. You have to do that. We have to judge this. We start judging that. And I heard stories upon stories of how people went to church and got hurt. I'm one of them. Matter of fact, in some of our groups that we talked about, people get hurt in church. And I'm like, why? Because of these institutions. One of the great books that I read was A Pagan Christianity by Frank Peretti. If you haven't read that book, you should pick up and read it. I like what he says in the very first foreword. He says this: the modern church, and I'm paraphrasing, has placed so much institution on the Church of Christ that is so unbiblical that when problem arises, the Bible never answered those problems because that was not the way the church meant to be. And I say, hardly true. And so I wanted to form a church, a forgiven life church, that brings us back to the first century, that brings us back to what the Bible teaches about. See, the pastor is no one special. Really, I am not anyone special. I'm not better than you. I really am not. I do not know. My life, just because I'm pastor, I live better than you. A pastor has one thing that works for him, that should work for him. He knows the Word of God. That's it. And he lives the best of his ability, the Word of God. If you have some problem with your health issue, go to my brother. Yes, I go to my sister. If you have some financial problem, go to Tiffany. Don't go to me. Who am I? You want artistic creativity, some of that, go to, Christina. Don't go to me. But you want to know God's Word, then come to me. Because I better know God's Word. If not, leave. You know what I'm talking about? Go somewhere else. If a pastor does not know God's Word or does not read from God's Word, we cannot open God's Word with you and you're reading with him and he's showing to you like, oh yeah, that's exactly what it said, leave. He's not worth his salt. That's the only thing the pastor does. Knows the Word of God and lives the Word of God and models the Word of God. And I want that so much for a church. A forgiven life church. So that's what I had in mind. And when I formed this church, there's one phrase I keep on mentioning over and over again. Whatever we do, I want a biblical church. I want a biblical church. I don't care if it's a large church. I want a biblical church. I don't care if it's a young church. I want a biblical church. I don't care if it's a bunch of old fogies. I just want a biblical church. That's all I want. And what is a biblical church? We'll talk about that next week, but I'll give you a little forelude here. Here's a biblical church. A church that loves God. A church that loves one another, and a church that shares that love with the world. That is it. That is a disciple. And if anyone tell you a disciple is anything else besides that, they're wrong. That is a disciple. That is a Christian. That is the forgiven life. And that's what I wanted. So I just felt that we, generally speaking, place such a different kind of burden, a heavy burden upon the worshiper, just as heavy as the Old Testament people did, and just as painful. It is religiosity. And I didn't want that. I didn't want that at all. I wanted something different. I want by which I can approach you, and you can approach me. If there's something wrong in your life, I can approach you and say, brother, sister, you need to work on this. And if there's something wrong with me, you should be able to come and approach me and say, hey, Lam, there's something wrong with you. And I would sit there and say, tell me about it. But actually, prepare me first. Hey, Pastor, I'm going to say something that's very difficult. Brace yourself. Go ahead. Then tell me. Don't just come throw it at me. I'll be like, whoa, prepare me. But that's how it should be. Because I'm not above you. And you're not above me. There's only one person who's above. There's only one person who's head. That's Jesus Christ. And we are our brother's keeper. We help each other to grow. We help each other to grow. And that's what I want. I want a church that follows the teaching of Jesus. I want a church where the Bible guides our thoughts and our practice. And that's why I focus so much upon the teaching of the Bible. Not some institutional man-made reasoning that is meant to place us in bondage. I just want a loving church. A loving church where people can come and feel safe and not scared. I want a loving church where people can come and can find healing and not where they come and get hurt. I want a loving church where people can encounter the Savior and not to elevate the self. I mean, if you walk out of this room knowing more about me than Jesus, there's something wrong. You know what I'm talking about? If you walk out here and you don't know any more about God and fall deeper in love with God, I have failed as a pastor. That's what I want. And so forgiven life was birthed from that desire, from that vision. And that's why I had that logo. And along the way, we here at Forgiven Life need to take a step back and to see if we are still on the right road. Because it's so easy to step off this pristine path for something vain, for something that would one day vanish. We constantly have to check ourselves, are we on this right path? Are we on this Forgiven Life path? I was debating what to share first. I mean, I got so many ideas, and I just want to chunk it all at you, but I had to take a step back, and I kind of changed my message a little bit, because I wanted, should I share the values of the church first, or should I share, what we're about? I was just tossing and turning, and so finally I thought, let me show you what the value is. That's the most beginning place where we start. What is the value of the church? And then next week we start sharing what is the mission of the church, what we are all about, and what we're trying to do. The value of the church. There are four values that would show us the way. There are four values that guides us on the decision that we make. You see, values are so important to us because value affects our behavior, and our value perfects our performance. As one author of a national leadership building company wrote this: the more you believe in your values, the more you become like them. The more you believe in your values, the more you become like them. Because if you're not sure what you value, you're in a vulnerable place, he wrote. In other words, our value gives us the assurance and the confidence that we're doing the right thing. And that when everyone else around us compromises, when everyone around us begins to waver, our value is what keeps us steadfast. And I want Forgiven Life to be built upon these values. There are four values, actually. I call them the ACTS, A-C-T-S, of Forgiven Life. It's so easy to remember. A-C-T-S, the ACTS of Forgiven Life. This is what we will act upon as we fulfill the mission of loving God, loving one another, and sharing this love to the world. And I truly, really believe this value. And if you talk to me long enough, you see my life, this is what I believe. Four values. The first one, A, authenticity. Authenticity. I mean, I would like for us, as Forgiven Life Church, to be genuine and real. You know what I mean? To be authentic. When we come here, we are authentic. We are real. We are genuine. The things that we do here at Forgiven Life must be forged out of a genuine love for God and a genuine love for one another, not some hypocritical act that elevates ourselves and makes us look good. It must be real and not fake, no pretense. That when I look at you and I say, I love you, you know I mean it. And that when you're serving God, we know you're serving from a genuine heart, not to be recognized. Jesus said this in John chapter 4, in verses 23. When the woman asked Jesus, the Samaritan woman asked Jesus, where do we worship God? Where do we offer this sacrifice? Where do we give our givings to God? And Jesus says, an hour is coming. And now is when the true worshipers, meaning there are false worshipers, but the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshiper. The Father is seeking worshiper. That is someone who offers up an offering, someone who gives to the Lord. And what he's seeking for is the worshiper. This offering is done in spirit and in truth. That's what Forgiven Life is about. When we come each and every Sunday, we want our worship to be in spirit. That is being real instead of being ritual. You know, when we come here, we close our eyes and we sing. It is we sing Jesus and we sing the Father. It's not that, oh guys, is anyone looking at me? Look at me. Oh, I'm raising my hand just to look at me. Look how spiritual I am. It's not a ritual act. It is a real, genuine focus upon Him. And we are to worship in truth, not hypocritically. See, these are the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. And this is the kind of worshiper Forgiven Life wants to be. When we sing, I want to focus on Him. And when we sing, sometimes I just want to pause and listen to the voice worshiping God. Because I want it to be genuine and real. And believe me, brother and sister, if I'm up here saying something that is not genuine, that is hypocritical and not real, you need to come and talk to me. Because if you don't talk to me, you know what that is? That's not loving. That's not loving. If I'm doing something that's hypocritical and I don't know about it, if you love me, you will come and tell me. Prepare me. Pastor, I'm going to say something really hard. Go ahead. You're being hypocritical. Jesus did that, didn't he? Yeah, Jesus is the master of love. If you are doing something wrong, I should have the courage to come and talk to you and say, brother, I love you, but you might need to work on this. Sister, maybe you need to look at this more deeply. See, that's being genuine. That's being real. And in a church setting, authenticity tells me that, you know what? I'm going to expose myself to you for who I am. Because my ultimate goal is what? Is to know Him. Is to grow in Him. And I'm assuming your ultimate goal is to know Him and to grow in Him. Isn't that the hope? Isn't that what 1 John says? That is our hope. Is that when He comes, we'll be like Him. And the only way we can be like Him is if we are vulnerable with each other. And hence, that's why I tell people that, you know what? Brother and sister, I will never leave because we are a family. And as family, I won't leave you. So you can say harsh things to me. I won't leave. I won't run away and hide. I won't bury my head in the sand. I will listen. And same thing that we want to have the confidence with you. If we are a family, don't leave. Because that gives us the confidence to say harsh things. Well, not harsh things. Truthful things to you. So that you may grow. Authenticity is what we're looking for. And I want Forgiven Life to have that authenticity. I want to be authentic. I'm holding myself accountable to you. I want to be authentic. If I'm not, let me know. So when I said that I love God and that I love the Bible, it's because I really love God and I really love the Bible, and it reveals in the things that I do. Man, look at my Bible. It's broken. It's ripped. It's torn. It's got marking all over it. You know why? Because I really do love God. And I really do love the Bible. Authenticity. And that when I come to you and say, you know, I really love you, I meant it. There is a strong nagging desire to follow Jesus' teaching that I could not rest and cannot rest if I don't do it. See, and when we say these things to each other, I want us to mean it, to be real. And if we don't mean it, just don't say it. Just be honest. And people come to me and say, how's your day? And I'm like, oh, I'm blessed. Don't you hate that? How's your day? Blessed. I mean, yeah, you're really blessed, but every single time, you know, I'm blessed. You know, when people come and say, how are you doing? I'm honest. You know what? I'm struggling and stressed, brother, but you know what? I love life. Because I really do. Be genuine. Be authentic. And when we say we love you, I love you, brothers, I love you, sister, we should also see that in our action and in our doing. Right? When a brother's sick or a sister's sick, we should see that. I mean, we should cook for them, bring it over to their house. Not just one time for show and tell, look how spiritual I am. You know, hey, yeah, I'll bring it over. Yeah. No, I'm talking about for days. For weeks, even for months, it need be, however long it takes. Without bragging, without boasting, just do it. If we tell someone we love them and they're struggling financially, we show that in any way we can. You know, if someone comes to us and say, you know what, I'm really having a difficult time. Where's the phone call? Where's the, hey, let's go get some coffee and let's talk. Where's the time being spent? Authenticity, genuineness. If we say we love them, we got to show it. Otherwise, it's just being hypocritical. And it's not one time, oh, Sunday, I love you, then the rest of the week, I don't. And if I'm not doing that, you need to come and tell me. You know, because I want to do it. And I want forgiven life to do it. That's who we are. We are authentic people. Being authentic means we actually say what we believe. Being authentic means we show that we're doing what we say. If we have something against someone, we reconcile and make it right instead of ignoring and pretending to like them. You know what I mean? Being authentic is so liberating as well. Being authentic is so liberating. You know, last week Mark and I would stay back and clean up this place again, you know, because we know that some people are allergic and some people are, you know, or whatever. And we spent the place clean, and then we just sat right here talking for hours. The only reason why we left is because the other church came in here and so we had to leave, but we spent here talking for hours and just having fun and laughing and being real and being authentic. And as I walked out with Mark, I looked at Mark and I said, you know, Mark, I really enjoyed talking to you. You know why? Because you're not impressed with me. I love it. You're not impressed with me. Oh, Pastor, you know, I can be genuine. I can be real. I can show you who I am. You're not impressed with me. That's authenticity. That's love. I can only stomach hypocrisy for so long and then it starts getting to me. I don't want that in my life. And I don't want that in your life. And I think you don't want that too. If I'm being hypocritical, please let me know. If anyone asks around you being hypocritical, please let them know. Because we're here to help each other grow. We're here to love God, love one another, share this love to the world. The second acts of forgiving life, the second thing that I value, and forgiving life values really, really much is, you got it, compassion. Compassion. See, along with love, compassion is the characteristic that describes Jesus' ministry and Jesus' character in the gospel. I mean, it talks about Jesus being compassionate all the time. The reason why Jesus serves and helps people is because he's compassionate. When Jesus saw the multitude of sick people coming to him, the Bible said in Mark chapter 14, verse 14, that he went ashore, he saw the large crowd, and he felt compassion toward them. And so he healed them. In Matthew chapter 20, two blind men were crying out to Jesus, 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 please help us, help us. And the Bible states that Jesus was moved with compassion. And he turned to them and said, what would you like me to do? The Bible said in Luke chapter 7, verse 13, that Jesus walking along, the woman, a widow, no husband, he's dead, and now her only son is dead. No man to take care of her. She didn't even ask for help. She's just crying, weeping. And as Jesus walked by and looked at her, the Bible says that he felt compassion. One translation said he was moved in the heart. And he walked up to her just to comfort her and said, do not weep. See, compassion marks the ministry of forgiven life. Compassion moves us to ministry. We don't do things just so that we can look good. We do things because we love God and we love one another. Compassion should mark us. Compassion is what allows us to serve freely. Compassion is what allows us to serve without giving up. Compassion is what allows us to press on without giving up. Compassion. And I can go on and on and on about Jesus' ministry being compassion. But if we want to be like Christ, we need to be compassionate too. It won't be like Christ. We need to talk about compassion too. Colossians 3 verse 12 through 13 states this. So, as those who have been chosen by God, if you are chosen by God, if you're a Christian, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should forgive. That is compassion. Chosen people must have compassion. If you don't have compassion, join us on Sunday. Let's start praying for compassion. Compassion just means understanding and sympathizing with each other. I mean, compassion just really means suffering with one another. That's all it really means. And one time I received this nasty text. It was in the morning, and I received this nasty text from someone. Just nasty. I hate those nasty texts, you know. And by the way, you know, if you got something nasty to say to people, talk to them in person. You know, you don't need to text them. I just hate those stuff. I mean, you say it all you want, but that's it. Then you close the door. That's just not maturity. That's just not Christ-like. I just hate it. I tell my staff all of it. My staff sent me a nasty text. One staff I told her, I hate nasty texts.
You got a problem? Come talk to me. Then later on, she sent me a nasty text. I hate that. You know, I came and I confronted her, called her on the phone, and she wouldn't want to answer. Like, you just text me. I know you're at the phone. You just text me. Don't send anyone nasty text. Talk to them. I mean, we as Christians. But anyway, one time this person sent me a nasty text from this person, wrongfully accusing me of something. And then proceeded to talk bad about my wife. It was a nasty text. This person don't even know me that well. And so I was just a little bit upset by it. I was just enraged by it. I mean, you know, talk bad about me, but then you talk bad about my wife. So I came up to Don and said, look at this. And I started reading to Don this nasty text about me and her. And I read it. And you know what surprised me? My wife started having tears in her eyes. Her tears was not the fact that someone talked bad about her. Her tears because she was hurt because of that person. She then looked at me and her voice was shaking and she told me, that person is hurting. We need to pray for that person. I was thrown back. I thought you were coming along with me, be angry with me. You know, let's be angry together. You know, hey, I'm the pastor. Yeah, I'm angry. And all of a sudden she said, that person's hurting. We need to pray for that person. And, you know, she had tears in her eyes, her voice was shaking. She really meant it. You know, I looked at her and I took a step back and said, that's compassion. That's what I should have reacted or behaved. I should do that. But my first instinct, I get angry. Instead of recognizing behind that message was someone who is hurting. And so right there and then she led us in prayer. And throughout the week, she sent me a prayer message praying for that prayer, you know, prayer text, right? She sent me a prayer text about her. Then made me start praying text about the person. We prayed back to each other the whole week and beyond week. That's compassion. That's the forgiving life. Compassion is suffering with someone who is hurting. It is being there, lending a hand, extending an ear. It is also celebrating with someone who is joyful. It is rejoicing in others' success. The love that we share with each other comes from a place of compassion, not of judgment. That's what forgiving life is about. Let me quickly move to the last two. Number three, the T in Acts is teamwork. Teamwork. You see, in 1 Corinthians 12, we are a body. I do not want to have a church where the pastor is the head of the church, where the pastor does everything, where the pastor leads everything, where you do whatever the pastor says. That's not the biblical church. That's not the Bible. There's only one person that you need to follow. That's Jesus. Right? Not the pastor. The only job of the pastor is to open the Bible and tell you what Jesus says, and then you need to listen to Jesus and follow him. If the pastor comes to tell you, if I come and tell you, hey, you need to do this because that's what I'm telling you need to do. You need to listen to the pastor. No. If I'm telling you to do something that the Bible's not telling you, you don't need to do anything. See, I don't have authority. My authority is the Word. As long as I'm in the Word, that's the authority. So I don't want a church where the pastor does everything, where the pastor leads everything, where the pastor tells you to do everything. No, we are a body. We need to have teamwork. That's why I don't want to be up here doing everything, the announcement, the prayer, you know, the speaking, the scripture, the blessing. No, that's not how a body of Christ works. We bless each other. We serve each other. I'm here to bless you. You're here to bless me. And that's why in our benediction, I'm blessing you, and you should bless me right back. It is a service of believers together. And if Christ is telling you something, the Spirit's moving you to tell you something, and you feel like we're not doing, you need to come and say, hey, Pastor, I think we need to look at this. I'm like, you're right. Let's take a look at the scripture. Are we doing it? Are we loving? Are we helping? Are we ministering? That's teamwork. I don't want to do it. If the church where I'm doing everything, I don't want to do it. I don't want a church that I'm doing everything. I don't want a church where I tell everyone what to do. Jesus should be telling me what to do. Because you know what? When I tell you to do something that Jesus didn't tell you to do, you can get disgruntled, right? Wouldn't you? I can't believe he's telling me. Why? After you do it for a while, I don't want it. But if Jesus tells you to do something, well, that's between you and him now. You know what I mean? I'm free. I can only point you what Jesus says in his word, but teamwork. We are a body of believers. A pastor is just a gift. It's no better gift than one who has the gift of helping, or one who has the gift of administration, or one who has the gift of giving, or one who has the gift of teaching. It's just a gift. There's only one person who should be elevated, Jesus Christ alone. Only person. That's why I tell you, if you come here and you quote me, oh, Pastor Lam says this, Pastor Lam says that, you think I'm like, oh, wow, yeah. No, I felt like I failed. But when you come, you tell someone, oh, the Word of God says this, I felt like I succeeded. Because it's about Jesus. It's about God. Teamwork. We work together as a team. The church starts out with 12 people working together as a team, and it grew to 1,000. We have, what, 12 people? So we work together as a team. And let's see what God can do in our life. Number four. I'm running quick. I'm almost there. Number four. The S in Acts is simplicity. Simplicity. Forgiven life is about simplicity. Trim away all the unnecessary access. Our worship should be simple. Our serving God should be simple. Our reading scripture should be simple. Our small group should be simple. Everything should be simple. We don't need to deal with all these big, dramatic things. You know, I love that. Last week was wonderful, right? Johnny came here worshiping last week, brought his team. Johnny, he's funny because he keeps on texting me and saying, oh, do you guys have sound system? I said, no. Don't worry, simple. Oh, do you guys have a microphone? No. Just make it simple. Oh, do you guys have a feedback music? No, John, make it simple. Every time he texts me, he was like, make it simple. I don't want anything, just simple. And then when he said, well, I guess we'll sing a cappella. I don't know what to do. Keep it simple. And when he came here and he brought his team and he worshiped, it was just a simple worship. You know what he and other people like John and Dan, you know what they told me? I like this worship because I can actually hear people sing. And I'm like, yep, that's exactly right. Because they were saying, oh, when I sing in my church, I can't hear anyone. I'm just hearing music. I can't hear anyone. Yep. Keep it simple. Charles from, he came here like several weeks ago and he was talking to me and he heard the worship. Just one guitar, no microphone, no speaker. He was singing. Later on during the fellowship, he came to me and said, I love this worship. He told me that I went to another, this ministry, went to another ministry, and I started seeing fogs and lights and music. And I can't worship God. That's right. Simplicity. The teaching is simple. The worship is simple. The small group is simple. Everything that we do got to be simple because it's just about us and Jesus. That is it. There you have it. The acts of forgiven life. Authenticity. Compassion. Teamwork. And simplicity. That's how we act here. That's the value and behavior that we believe. Now that we know our value, how should we behave? What should we do? Well, that's next week. So come next week. We talk about our mission. But let me conclude with these two last thoughts. Two last talks to talk about in our house church. Two practical points to ponder on. Number one, forgiven life focuses on being healthy church, not on a huge church. Please, focus on being a healthy church, not on a huge church. I got that from my brother Keith yesterday when I was sharing with him about what forgiven life is. And he's like, a healthy church, not a huge church. Yep. Bingo. That's it. See, when you focus on a huge church, start looking around. Start looking, oh man, what's going on here? Where's this person? Why is it not growing? You start getting discouraged. No, we focus on being a healthy church, loving God, loving one another, and sharing this love to the world, being authentic, having compassion, working together. That's it. Just focus on being healthy because honestly, if the body is healthy, it will grow. Right? If the body's healthy, it would automatically grow. Don't look around, look up. And as you look up, how can we help each other? We focus on the huge church, become disappointed, disillusioned, and I've seen that. We may start compromising our values so that we can try bringing a large crowd. I've seen that. Let's start bringing all this big worship thing in just so we can attract the crowd. No. We want to be a healthy church. We want to worship God simply. Number two, forgiven life is about practicing the faith. Not only preaching the faith. We are about practicing the faith. Not only preaching the faith, but yin yang. Matter of fact, this past week I was talking to a brother all the way up to what, 1-2 o'clock in the morning. We're just on the phone talking. You know, he had some problems. He wanted to talk to me and talk about a theological issue that he was always on his mind. And I said to the brother, and I made it practical. I started talking personally to his life. And he talked to me, hey Lom, I don't mind us talking about this theology, but when you start talking about what I do, that's getting a little bit too personal. I don't like it. I told him, then why are we talking? If the gospel is not personal, why are you not spending all this time talking? If the gospel doesn't affect our life and we're not practicing it, why are we talking? Why are we just preaching? That doesn't make sense to me. I want to grow in Christ, not just talk about Christ. That is what forgiving life is about. I was at a pastor's meeting, and the pastor was there, and we sit there talking, and the pastor's, I'm sorry, I don't mean the dog pastor, I love pastors, I'm a pastor, I love pastors. We're just talking, and this one other, guy was talking to this pastor's life, because we know that this pastor is not, not living the way he should live, and the pastor's sitting there, and like, I know, I preached on it. As if I preach on it means I live it. No. Preaching is not practicing. Here at Forgiven Life, we want to live that Christian life. We want to practice that Christian life. And if I'm not doing it, you need to tell me. And if you're not doing, give me the liberty to tell you. That is what Forgiven Life is about. No hypocrisy, simple love, simple worship. So please, hold to this value and come and join me in this. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much, so much. This is your church, Lord. This is your body. And all we want to do as we come here is to know you, to love you, to love one another, and to be able to share this love to the world. We want to be real and genuine people, Lord. We want to be honest and truthful people. We want to be a people of compassion, by which we can love because Jesus loves. We want to love because Jesus has compassion. We want to be like him in our compassion. Dear Father, help us, Lord God, that when we see a brother or sister in pain or hurting, let us actually reach out to help them. Let us actually show them that we love them in deeds and in truth so that we may, Lord God, please you. It's not about being a large church, Father. It's about being a loving church that we're looking for. So descend upon us each and every day and let us truly love you and love each other. This is the forgiven life, Lord. And this is what we desire. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.